just so you know. But I want to ask a question of all of us. Do you know what predator lives in your backyard? We all have our dwelling places, but there are things that are around us that sometimes we don't know about. Do you know about the predator that resides in your backyard? You know, when families are being relocated from one state to another, they're trying to find a house, and some of the questions that come up in the relocation process will be about the school system. Is the school system in that particular area, is it safe? Well, that's a question, that's $1 million question today. Are the school systems safe? We are starting to see more and more events take place within our school systems that we've never seen before. The next question is, what about the neighborhood that we're looking for this home? Is that neighborhood safe? Well, again, we can say the same thing about the schools. You know, some have lived in neighborhoods for 30 and 40 years and never had a problem. But yet today, it's a different story. It's a different story. So the answer to the question, are the schools safe? Are the neighborhoods safe? It's a good question. But is any place safe today? You know, Satan has full reign to do a lot of different things right now. So the question is, are they safe? Here are the top five questions home buyers are asking realtors. And this is from a real estate report. They gave the top 10, but I picked the top five of the questions that home buyers ask of realtors. Number one, what should I look for when identifying a new location in which to live? What should I look for? At what point should I enlist the help of a real estate agent? And how do I find one? How do I find the right home with the limited time I have in town? Should I sell my current home before I move? Do I need to hire professionals to move me? Those are in the top five questions that home buyers are asking realtors. It's kind of interesting. I never asked any of those questions. And maybe some of you do not either. You know, this afternoon, family, I want to talk about the dangers in the areas in which we live. The dangers that lurk within our backyards that we probably don't pay attention to or didn't even bother to ask the realtor a question about until we have purchased the property and now we are confronted with the dangers that surround us. The title for the sermon this afternoon is, What Predator Lives in Your Backyard? What predator lives in your backyard? You know, I grew up in Indiana. Indiana is, of course, the farming belt of the Midwest. Indiana is known for its multiple crops of corn and soybean, wheat and hay. There used to be a joke about there's more than just corn in Indiana. You know, so we added soybean and hay so people would know that we had other crops that were being grown there. Did you realize one of the biggest manufacturers for tomatoes is right there in Indiana? Yep. I'm not going to tell you the name of it. I don't want to give them kudos, and Mr. Warden's going to get after me for speaking about those things and mentioning people's names, so I'm not going to tell you who they are. I'm not going to tell you they have a red can with a red label. But anyway, Indiana, tomatoes. Did you also know that in Indiana, there are 24 different types of wild animals that roam free within that state? If you've never been to Indiana, you wouldn't have thought such a thing existed. Well, our home was on the back end of a cornfield, about a couple hundred acres that the farmer had farm behind us, but there was corn. Some years they were soybean, other years they just sat dormant and they rested the land. But Indiana has a host of forests and rivers that are located off of the Great Lakes. And they have a variety, a wide variety of animal life that live within the state. Did you know that Indiana is a home for many black bears, coyotes, badgers, beavers, a plethora of rabbits, squirrels, bison? Bet you didn't know that. See, there's more than corn in Indiana. White-tailed deer. The black bears are found there because it has a very stable population in the state parks where people generally don't bother them, so they hang out there. But Indiana's chief predators are the gray fox, the red fox, the bobcats, and the coyotes. Now, we knew that because we lived, like I said, on the backside of a big old cornfield. So we knew the foxes were out there. And the bobcats every once in a blue moon, coyotes also every once in a blue moon. So they always give a warning to hikers that are going out to our state parks and they're hiking to be careful, to be mindful that we do have these predators that exist. But here's the thing, those predators don't bother anyone. They don't bother anyone until you come up on their habitat, or maybe you're interfering with them caring for their young. Then we have a problem. Then we have a problem. But for the most part, you don't see on the radio every morning, so-and-so was eaten, you know, by a red fox. Not the red fox, the other red fox. You don't hear about that. Well, family, the title for the sermon this afternoon is, What Predator Lives in Your Backyard? What predator lives in your backyard? Now, coming to Tennessee, when I got relocated here in Tennessee, I knew about the black bears. They're very much familiar with the bears in Tennessee. Tennessee has a lot of national parks and places that wild mammals, insects, and reptiles exist. In 84 areas here in Tennessee, you will find the black bear, the badger, cougars, deer, bobcats. Tennessee almost sounds like Indiana. Most wild creatures in Tennessee are not classified as dangerous. But Tennessee also is the home for many species of hawks that fly overhead. Here's something very interesting, and I'm going to have all of you to sign a waiver when the sermon's over with, because you can never speak of this. Tennessee also has the top 10 biggest spiders. And they have other species of spiders. Did you all know that? Okay, you all will sign a waiver. You will never speak of this to my daughter. If she ever finds this out, she will never come back to Tennessee. Never thought of that. Moving into an area and being concerned about spiders. Who knew? But here are the top 9 predators and dangerous animals in Tennessee. The copperhead snake, rattlesnakes, the black bear, the black widow spider, the brown recluse spider, the bobcat, cougars, and pumas, the red and gray foxes, and coyotes. These are your top predators here in the state of Tennessee. So, now you just bought a home here in Tennessee, or maybe you moved into an apartment. You know, we live in an apartment just behind us here, and it's interesting the things you see coming off that hill from time to time. You know, and they have the mail center sits right in the middle of the complex, and then you got this big hill that comes off the back side of it. You know, so you're lurking around. Don't go after the mail at night. Let there be daylight. When you go over there and go after the mail, you don't know what's going to meet you at the mailbox. But yet, who actually stops to think about a predator that lives in the area? I was talking to the folks up here in London who just recently bought homes, and they were telling me their stories about things that have lurked in their yards. One of the families had a chicken every night that would get out. They would scold the chicken. I don't know how you do that, but they would scold the chicken and to encourage the chicken not to do that again. So they had a video, I think this week, they were telling me. All they saw were feathers in the video. That chicken got out. And when he got out, the chicken became dinner for something else. And it's quite interesting, family, because what we don't know about sometimes can get to the best of us. It can get to the best of us. Now, the other interesting thing about these predators is the fact that they don't have a daily consumption. They don't have a daily diet, you know, biting and eating humans. They don't have that. They're only protecting themselves or protecting their habitat or protecting their young. We, on the other hand, are disturbing them. We're disturbing their peaceful dwellings. When they come down, they just come down to eat and they go back to their habitat. But nope, you know, we want to go and we want to disturb their habitat. But again, there are no reports that show that they have a daily appetite to go and bite humans. Let me give you a few statistics that I thought were kind of interesting. The total number of animal attacks across America since 2000. No state has experienced more fatalities than Texas. Texas, can you imagine? Texas had 559 attacks within the last two decades where fatalities were involved. Now, guess what animal did this? You'll never guess, I'm gonna tell you. Wild dogs. Wild dogs. Wild dogs. Our Texan back there didn't hear me, so I had to repeat it three times. Wild dogs, of all things. Over the last two decades, fatalities over the last 20 years, here, Florida is famed for its free-roaming alligators and crocodiles, with 257 attacks by animals since 2000. North Carolina has reported 180 fatal attacks since the turn of the century, placing the state among the most dangerous for wildlife. North Carolina, really? That's what the report says. Meanwhile, Tennessee is close behind, rounding off of the top five states that have animals that have attacked. Tennessee has reported 165 deaths. 165 deaths caused by an encounter with an animal in the wild. Now these, I don't know why they shared Texas being wild dogs, but they didn't share the rest of what animals attacked. And the reason they do that in Tennessee is because they want you to come to Tennessee. They want you to visit Tennessee. They don't want to tell you it was the bears. It wasn't Yogi and it wasn't Boo Boo, but just want to make that clarity here. Now, last but not least, this is most interesting to me. Snakes and lizards. Snakes and, now I know all of you have snakes and lizards, right? In your backyards. If you got chickens, yeah, you probably got snakes and lizards. Listen to this. As far as daily encounters with snakes and lizards, guess who's number one with death tolls involving snakes and lizards? Texas. Again, 16 deaths were reported in Texas. People dying from snakes and lizards. California came in with 15 deaths being reported. Fatalities over the last 20 years, Georgia had 14, Tennessee had 7, Florida had 4, Arizona had 3, Kentucky had 3, Missouri had 3, and Alabama had 2. So if you're looking for a home, I can give you a guide. Now, I'm not a realtor, but I can give you a guide on what states to stay away from if you're worrying about predators living in your backyard. You know, my family and I, when the kids were young, we went to Rapid City, South Dakota for the feast. Loved Rapid City. One of our favorite sites was going through Bear Country. I don't know if many of you have Been out to Rapid City and had the chance to go through Bear Country. Loved Bear Country. Now, they have warnings. They tell you, when you go through the park, you stay in your car. You keep your window up. You don't feed the animals. They live in the wild. They don't need you to feed them. Now, what do you see on videos? People going to the park, feeding the animals ice cream, and then they want to know why the animal attacked. You know, it's probably some spoiled ice cream you gave him, and now he's upset about it, or that he wants more ice cream. But the warning signs are there. Stay in your car. Don't feed the animals. Drive slowly. If it looks like one of the animals are going to attack your vehicle, blow your horn. Stay on your horn, and the animal will go ahead and flee. But do we do that? No, we let the kids out of the car. Oh, see a little bear over there. You know, let's go over there and pet the little bear. The warning sign says, stay in the car. Don't get out. Because these animals live in the wild. But people do what they want to do. And then you want to know at the zoos and all these different places where you see other animals, you know, why the animals attack. Well, we invaded their space. We were warned to stay away from them. But no, we had to go and interfere with their daily living habits. Now, even with these statistics, family, we don't have a problem with human beings being attacked daily by the wildlife that surround our areas. And that spider thing, that's a different story. We'll talk about that later. And you all are going to sign that waiver because you'll never speak of this to my daughter. If you want her to come back to Tennessee anyway. But you know, something interesting about all of this. We are given warnings ourselves about a predator. I saw a video clip, it's been probably a year or two ago. It was a video clip of three gazelle playing in a field. They were just playing, having a good old time. But one kind of got upset with the other two and decided, well, he's had enough, so he's going to wander off. In the grass, and this video clip was taken somewhere in Africa. In the clip, way off in the far distance, there was something moving about in the grass. And that something was a lion. And that lion was sitting, and he was just waiting to see what these three gazelle were going to do. Because he was going to have lunch one way or the other. It was only either going to be one, two, or three. But that lion just lingered. And you could just kind of barely see him moving about in that grass. Well, the one gazelle got upset with the other two and decided he wanted to wander off. So the other two went, got him, wrestled with him, got him back where he belonged. But he evidently got upset again as he wanted to wander off. Now, these animals have an instinct. They know when trouble's lurking. But yet, here in this situation, this one gazelle looked like he just had an attitude problem with his two buddies. And he didn't want anything else to do with them. So he wanted to wander off. Well, you know, when we go over to 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, you don't have to turn there. We are told, as God's people, to be alert, to be sober-minded. You know, I started thinking about the alligators down in Louisiana and Florida. You know, they got a heavy population of alligator and crocodiles down there, but you don't hear a lot about people being eaten by crocodiles or alligators. I began to think, why didn't God liken Satan as an alligator? You know, he's kind of moving about in the mire. You know, when you see videos of them, all you see is their eyes sticking above the water. They're just hanging out. It may not be feeding time for them. They're just hanging out. Their intention is different. The lion is a different beast. The lion is a very different beast. It's a very cunning beast. It's a beast that has patience. It will wait. It will watch. It will listen. It will observe. And we are told to be alert, stay sober, because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, and he's looking to see who he can devour. Now, the difference between this lion and the wildlife is this. The wildlife doesn't have a daily appetite and diet for human consumption. This predator does. this predator does. He is looking for someone to devour, to destroy. And he's looking at God's people. He's looking at God's people. He knows what our lives mean to Jesus Christ and to God the Father. But the question I have for us is this. Do we really know how important our lives are to Jesus Christ and God the Father? We just came through a very wonderful Passover and days of unleavened bread. I hope that we have not quickly forgotten the sacrifice that was made, the rededication that we made to Jesus Christ and to God the Father. I want to take the rest of the time and talk to us about wisdom. Wisdom. That predator exists in our backyard. That predator is looking for any and every opportunity to take any one of us in this room out at any given point in time. That predator is listening to our reasoning with whether or not we should do things God's way or whether or not we should do things our own way. But we're going to take a look at some measuring tools here, family, to determine whether or not our lives are reflecting Jesus Christ every day, or is our life reflecting ourselves? Well, you know, nothing wrong with what I'm doing. But yet, family, the predator is there. His job is very simple, is to take out anyone, as many as he can. He will use all means necessary to get us discouraged, to get us down, to have us just giving up. You all know the story about my car. You all know that they planted it 3 times wrong. Why? Why 3 times wrong? Why couldn't you get it right the first time? You know, the car is beige, not pink, not red, not white. It's beige. You are a professional. Why would you do that? Very simple. The adversary took advantage of the opportunity. You know what that is? It's a fiery dart. It's a dart to get up under my skin, to get me discouraged, to have my focus someplace else where it shouldn't be. Then after they quote unquote got it right, they broke my gas door. Going down the road, remember? Told you I was up in London. The wind blew the door open, and I'm looking in my mirror like, what in the world? What's this? Not to mention that Megavac really ruined my day and ate my tie. Not to mention that. But now I've got this gas door. What's happening here? The adversary throwing those little fiery darts. Not to discourage, but yet to just really get under my skin. And then he threw a car at me a week and a half ago. What do you do? What do you do? Well, you keep getting up. You keep moving forward. The funny thing about the gas door situation is the insurance company and the dealership are still squabbling over who's going to pay for the gas door. Now, I have a question for all of you. Should I tell them? Just asking my brothers and sisters, should I go to them and say, hey, you know what? I'll end this argument now for you. Or do I just see how long this thing's going to go on before they decide who's going to fix the gas door? Okay? Now, I'll show you how the adversary works. And I'll use my own self as a personal example, because I can't get in trouble with Mr. Word with me using myself. I'm not playing a video. I'm just me. I'm live. So, after the accident last Sunday, I spent 3.5 hours shopping for a car. I went through 150 vehicles. You would think 150 vehicles, I find something. Well, yeah, but not in my price range. Everybody else, oh, we got these great deals going. Yes, I don't want to live in the car, though. You know, I like to get out of the car and go into my apartment, and I don't want to live in the car. I want to be able to afford to do other things besides pay for this car. So we found a vehicle down in Atlanta, a little town just, I think, south or north of Atlanta, Georgia. We found the car. We went through, we looked at the car, pulled the videos up of the car, looked at all the single shots of the vehicle. I'm looking for dents. I'm looking for, you know, problems. Didn't find any. Didn't find a one. So we ordered the car. I also requested they inspect the vehicle before it's delivered. And I want the vehicle inspected after it arrives. So they followed through. They did everything they were supposed to do. So I got a phone call on Wednesday. Well, on Tuesday, the car is now in Tennessee. I got a message on Wednesday to come and take a look at the car and pick up your car. So I go out, look at the car. It's the car that I picked online. It's the right color. Everything's right with it. I test drove the car. Love the car. You know, that old saying in years past, you know, when Buick kind of went down, it says, this isn't your father's Buick anymore. Well, guess what? It's back. It's back. It is your father's Buick and your grandfather's. When you're driving down the road and you look at a Buick, you see people my age and older driving a Buick. You don't see young people. The young people try to infuse their world into the Buick. Didn't happen. Went back to the old people. But here's this vehicle. Nice vehicle. Everything was fine. I went out to the car to get some papers out of it. Passenger side. There's this long scratch all the way down the car. Why? The guy says, we can fix it. I said, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. Too soon. They couldn't believe it. They were just shocked. But then I thought about it. I said, I'm not shocked. I'm really not shocked. Here's the adversary again. You know, we went back. We looked at the inspection reports. It wasn't there. Looked at the pictures. Wasn't there. But now it's here. So we concluded how it happened. Well, somebody was just careless bringing the car off of the ramp. And they rubbed probably one of those little bumpers on the side. But there it is. A car. It's a pearl gray. Not just gray, just pearl gray. And now they got to repaint it. You know who's behind this, right? You see, we're told to be alert, be sober-minded. Because he's busy. He's going to attack. He's looking for anything and everything, family, to come after us with. That's the predator that's living in our backyard. How aware are you of this predator? How much do you know about this predator? It's interesting that God keeps bringing this back to the forefront of my mind and the minds of others to make God's people aware of the fact that, you know, Satan knows his time's getting closer and closer. So he's going to do everything he can to discourage, to divide, to try and conquer. You know, I was thinking about the family who had the little chicken that would sneak out of the coop every night. They warned it. They scolded it, they told me. Now it's nothing but feathers all over the place. You see, that's what the adversary wants. He wants you to be that gazelle that gets upset and fed up that you're going to wander off. He's laying there in the grass. That predator is laying and waiting. That predator is very patient. He's very patient because he knows as he listens, he's observant, he's watching you. He knows where and when to strike. Are you aware of that predator that exists in your backyard? Family, we have to bring every thought into submission, every action into submission. When we start getting into those positions where we begin to reason within ourselves as to what's right and what's wrong, it should be based upon what is God's will? What does God expect of me? What does God want me to do in this particular situation? But in our decision making, sometimes we ourselves, family, will make a decision, and sometimes it's the wrong decision. I want to read you two definitions about the word wisdom. Wisdom. The first definition, the ability or result of any ability to think and act utilizing knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. Interesting. Wisdom, the ability or result of an ability to think, to act, utilizing knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. God expects you and me to use wisdom. Here's the second definition that I like. Wisdom, the capacity of the mind that allows us to understand life from God's perspective. The capacity of the mind that allows us to understand life from God's perspective. In our daily walk on this journey, are we walking daily with God? Are we walking daily with God? Are we seeking godly wisdom? Or are we just using our own resources of our mind to come up with the decisions that sometimes we should not be coming up with? Sometimes it's decisions that we shouldn't make. Did we seek God? Did we seek God? We begin to justify, oh, this is okay. Is it really? Can we measure that decision up with God's word? You see, the three gazelles, the one began to wander off. Got upset with the other two, and he wants to do his own thing. Join me, if you will. Let's go over and look at some of Solomon's writing. Let's go to Proverbs 4. The lion wants you to be separate from everybody else. And if he can make that happen, even in your own thoughts, your own reasonings to do the things that we do, then he has you right where he wants you. Proverbs 4, let's start in verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Family, we have been given good doctrine. He says, do not forsake my law. Here's a father talking to a son. Here's our father talking to you and to me. He says, when I was my father's son, tender and only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and he said to me, let your heart retain my words. Family, we are given God's word and we are to retain his word. We are to give consideration. We're to give thought. We're to give time in reading and understanding the laws of God. He says, keep my commandments and live. Keep my commandments and live. In the Ten Commandments, we see where the instructions are being given to a child to honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long on the earth. Here's a commandment. And here we're being instructed to keep my commandments and live. It says, get wisdom, get understanding, but do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, so therefore, get wisdom. Get the understanding. Don't lean to your own understanding, as the scriptures tell us, but lead to the understanding that God will give each and every one of us if we ask him and if we seek him for that wisdom and for that understanding in making that right decision. Don't be like that one gazelle and make the decision to, hey, you know what? I'm upset with you guys, so I'm going to wander off. I don't like you guys, so I'm going to go here over here and do my thing. That predator exists. He's not going away. That predator is out there. He's waiting for each one of us to make that wrong decision so that now he can attack. Verse 10, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. If we listen and if we follow the instructions that are given to us through God's word, if we're seeking God on a daily basis, not just on a daily basis, you know, the old creed for an for someone who has an alcohol problem, if he goes through Alcoholic Anonymous, it is one day at a time. But that's not true. It's not one day at a time. It's one moment at a time. Any given moment in a day, that alcoholic can make a decision and decide, you know what? I want to have that drink. It's not one day at a time. It's one moment at a time. And the same, family, holds true for you and me. It's not just one day at a time that we seek God and we study His Word and we are praying to God. You know, every moment of the day, do we give thought to our Father? Do we give thought to what our elder brother did for you and for me? Do we seek our Father and asking for help and guidance with the things that are going on in my head right now? You know, God, help me with this. I know this isn't right. I know it's not right. And if you can say to yourself, you know that's not right, then, family, this is the time when we stop and we seek God and ask God for help. This is that moment. Don't let that moment pass you by. Father, I need your help. I need your help because that predator's out there. He sees my attitude. He hears my thinking. He hears my words. I don't want to get caught up in his snares. I need you to help me to change my mind so that my ways will please you. And this is what it's all about for you and me. The adversary doesn't want that. He wants to destroy. His daily appetite is to destroy. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life may be many. I have taught you in every way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. Jesus Christ has led us in the right path, family. We cannot get off this path. We're living today in a world that is not safe. We can't say, oh, I live over here. I live in a gated community. What does that mean today? There are crimes in the gated communities. You don't hear about them because they're gated communities. We don't want to discourage others from moving in this gated community, so let's keep this down low. Let's not talk about it real loud. School systems, they're not safe. This past week, I had a mega prayer request that came across my phone. When I looked up, of course, it was from all my kids. It's from all my kids and others that knew them. One of my daughters, who's a teacher, has been on lockdown for 4 hours because of a bomb threat in the school. And she's been teaching in this school now, I think, for 7 years. Now she's afraid to go back to work because of a bomb threat. But yet, I'm always reminding them, even as I remind myself, God did not give us that spirit of fear. We are gathered here today on the Sabbath. God has placed his angels around us for our protection. And he will protect us. Have you ever thought about your day and as you go about your day, asking God not only to protect you, but protect everyone around you. Protect everyone around you. You know, sometimes people will wonder, well, this happened over there. Well, how did we escape? Because God was protecting you. God was protecting you. And because he was protecting you, everyone around you reaped the benefits of that protection. He says, I have led you in the right path. Verse 12, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Now, of course, if I run right now, I'm not just going to stumble. I'm hitting the floor. So I'm not going to do that. But yet, the point here is this. Family, he has put us on the path that we need to be on. Because that predator is lurking around. We cannot get off this path. We must stay on the path. We must keep our eyes focused, looking forward and moving forward. The gazelle got off the path. We don't want to be that gazelle that got off the path. Take firm and hold of these instructions and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. You know, there are those that I've talked to in months past that want to turn around. They want to turn around their lives. They want to come back to church. But there's a problem. One of the comments that was made to me was, looks like the closer I get to coming back to church, the worse my life gets. Everything just is in turmoil. And yes, it will be in turmoil. Why? It's because the adversary do not want you on this path. You see, Christ says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws that individual. And if God is drawing that individual, then that individual has to keep moving forward. But it's difficult. How do you tell someone to keep moving forward? Just, buddy, I'm getting knocked out left and right. Yes, keep getting up. Keep getting up. Keep getting up and you will receive the reward that God has for you. But we have to go through these things. But family, we don't have to go the way of the wicked. Because when we go off course, we're setting ourselves up for failure. We are setting ourselves up for failure. And that predator is out there lurking, waiting, watching, listening. And he is going to engage because his diet is to destroy you and to destroy me. Don't enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Can't be any more clear than this. Keep going forward, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they have made someone fall. This is the adversary. This is his whole game. He's going to do whatever he can to throw us off. You know, for they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun. Who is the shining sun for you and me that shines ever brighter unto a perfect day? Jesus Christ is the light. He is the light. He is that light that lights our path so that we can see. He's not going to lead us on a path where we're going to stumble and fall. He says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They don't know. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life. Here we go again. This is life to you and to me. To those who find them. And health to all their flesh. He says, keep your heart with diligence. For out of it springs issues, the issues of life. Put away from you the deceitful mouth and the perverse lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyes look forward. Not backwards, not to the left, not to the right. Stay on the path, family. Look straight ahead. And your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path with your feet. And let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. And remove your foot from evil. We're given some very clear instructions here. These instructions, family, they're important for our existence and long life, if you want long life. If you want to live. But when we get off this path that Jesus Christ has us on, family, we're setting ourselves up for failure. We're opening the door to that predator. Three gazelles. Two remained in the field. The other one decided, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to wander off. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. We see here that the preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from God. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes. Sometimes, family, we get caught up in the decision makings in our lives and we don't consider God. We don't bring God in the midst of the discussion. What should I do? How do you want me to handle this? Well, this seems okay in my eyes, but the Lord weighs on the spirit. He says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. We have to commit ourselves to God. And he's going to establish our thoughts. If you want to have a clear thought about which way you should go, what you should do, how you should do things, here it is. Commit your works to the Lord. He says, and your thoughts will be established. You know, I can go back in my life and I can show you, yep, that was my decision. That wasn't God. God had nothing to do with it. That was all me. Wrong decision. And many of us can do the same thing. Well, we didn't think that one through. And so here are the end result. See, it goes back. It goes back to that definition of wisdom. The ability or result of an ability to think, act, utilizing knowledge, experience. What's the experience? What have you experienced in your life where you know for a fact, you know what, God? I didn't seek your help. I didn't seek your guidance. I didn't use wisdom. I didn't get the understanding. Sometimes I didn't even use any common sense. And then here we have the insight. God is giving us that insight. We want the capacity of our mind to allow us to understand life from God's perspective. That's what we want. That's what we're seeking. That's what we should be seeking. That predator is out there. He's lurking. I was standing in a backyard with a gentleman, and we were standing there talking, and we heard this sound. It sounded like something was falling, but we were out in the middle of his backyard in his big field. What's falling? We're looking around, didn't see anything. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, this big fat rabbit appears. I mean, that thing came down and hit the ground hard. That was a pretty big rabbit. He was sitting on the ground shaking. You know, he's been shell-shocked here. So we're like leaning back up against the house because we don't know what just dropped that big rabbit on the ground. So we're looking up, and here was this big hawk. It picked that big rabbit up. So that rabbit was probably jumping and squirming and shaking. He says, okay, fine. Pew! Came back later and got him. Our adversary is out there. He's our predator. He's looking. He's seeking. He's listening. Proverbs 16. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. We want to commit our ways to God and asking God for help and guidance. Number 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies have peace with him. But family, we have to stay on the path. We have to stay on the path. We have to keep looking forward. Verse 9, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. The Lord directs his steps. Yes, we have a part in this whole process as well. And sometimes, family, if you want to make the right decision and you're struggling with making the right decisions, this is where prayer and fasting and seeking God's guidance and help comes into being. This is what we must do. We must lean to God more. And like I said, family, sometimes we've got to do this, you know, moment by moment, not just day by day. Every moment of our day, we are challenged with something. We've got to make a decision. We've got to make a call. We've got to do something. Do we involve God in those little decisions? Do we take a moment and just pray about what we're dealing with? You know, God would love to be involved with everything that we do. Verse 16, how much better to get wisdom than to get gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Do we lack wisdom? Do we lack the ability to be able to know the right things to do and the right things to say? Sometimes we got to put the brakes on the things that we say. Everything that comes in our mind, we shouldn't say. You know, I've had to learn that a lot, especially these days. There are things at work, boy, you'd be surprised how I'm shoving Twix in my mouth. Can't say it. I want to say it. Can't say it. Can't say it. Can't say it from God's perspective, and can't say it from an HR perspective. But we have to learn to bridle our tongue. We have to learn to bridle our tongue. This is where understanding comes in. This is where using wisdom, having the insight of what we should do, what we should say, what we shouldn't do, and what we shouldn't say. Our predator is in our backyard, watching, listening, looking for the opportunity. If you find yourself saying things like, oh, well, this isn't going to matter, you just open the door. Oh, this isn't going to, you just open the door. Oh, it's just one time, you just open the door. You're giving him, you're giving that predator the insight to your reasoning, to your reasoning. And you'll wake up one day and try to figure out, how did they get here? Remember the three gazelle? You wandered off. You reasoned amongst yourself to do the things that you wanted to do. You allowed that door to be open for that predator now to sift you out. We have to be careful, family. We have to be careful. We're on that path that Christ has placed us on. Verse 19. Better to be a humble spirit with a lowly than to be divided by the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the words wisely will find good. If we heed the words wisely. Wisdom, family. Wisdom. We'll find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Do you want to be happy? You know, the old standing joke is, if you want to have a happy life, then have a happy wife. No. If you want to be happy, trust in the Lord. If you want to be happy, you truly want to be happy. You know, because if all I do is try to please my wife to be happy, I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to be miserable. You know, I love my wife, but yet I'm going to be miserable. Because all I'm doing is spending all my time trying to please you. Yes, dear. Okay, dear. Fine, dear. I liked it better when I was single. You just put too much work on me. You know, the wife says, hey, I want you to take a vacation. No, I'm not falling for that trick. See, if I take a vacation, that means I'm going to work for you the whole week. I'll just stay at work. Yeah, honey-do list. I've seen your list. But no, if you want to be happy, if you want to be happy, it says trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. If you really, really want to be happy. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. Verse 31, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory. If it is found in the way of righteousness. If it is found in the way of righteousness. Family, we want to be happy. We want to live our lives in accordance to God's way and to God's will. That is our desire. But we have to remember, in using wisdom on a daily basis, that that predator is out there. We cannot give that predator the opportunity to have too much insight on you and me. Looking for your weaknesses. Do you know where your weaknesses are? Of course you do. Do you give in to them? We do from time to time, family. We do from time to time. You know, that big old piece of sweet potato pie that I wasn't supposed to have? I ate the whole thing? That's why it got rationed to me. I only got one slice at a time because I eat the whole pie. But I know that's the right thing to do. But yet, family, sometimes we don't make the right decisions. Then we're sitting around, we're feeling yuck. We're telling ourselves, oh, man, I shouldn't have. I would probably never say I shouldn't have ate the sweet potato pie, but that feeling I'm just going to have to suffer with. But my point is this. Family, there are those things that we know. We know and we wrestle with. If we're wrestling with things in our lives, it's because we're seeking to do it our way and not God's way. Because if we trust God and we trust our elder brother Jesus Christ, they're not going to lead us astray. They're not going to lead us astray. Psalms 4. David writes here about being faithful and finding safety in God. Psalms 4 and verse 1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. When we call out to God, we want him to hear us. But we are in a world that's changing every day, family. We've got to be aware of these changes. We've got to stay focused. We're told to watch and to pray. We're told this for a reason. We don't want to be caught up in the snares of this world because we have taken our foot off the path that Christ has placed us on. We have to stay focused. We've got to keep moving forward. We've got to keep looking to Jesus Christ. Christ says, my sheep, they know my voice. They hear my voice. They follow me. Are we still following Jesus Christ? Or are we following the reasons in our own head? The justifications in our own heads? The excuses in our own head that we use to justify not being on the path? Three gazelle. One wandered off. The predator is lying in the grass waiting. Have mercy upon me. Hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? How long are you going to do this? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call him. It says, be angry, but don't sin. Meditate with your heart on your bed and be still. Be still. A lot of times, family, we get worked up. We get anxious about things. Be still. You know, our kids are jumping all over the place. We'll say, oh, they got OCD. No, just sit them down and tell them, be still. You know, I had a grandmother's growing up. OCD, I didn't know what that was. I knew what the switch was. That settled me down real quick. Today, you don't use that. But it worked in our day. 9 kids. She wasn't going to have a group of heathens running amok in that house. No, she had a big switch. And she knew how to use it. And if you tried to run, she had it stretched out long enough to catch you. And down you went. And you're dragging your leg. You're trying to, you know, like a wounded animal. Now you're dragging your leg, trying to find the escape. And here she comes. You can't run. And now here she goes. OCD, fix that real quick. He says, be angry, but do not sin. Meditate with your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust where your trust belongs, family. We belong to Jesus Christ. He died for you and for me. We just came through the Passover, the days of unleavened bread. We rededicated ourselves to him and to the Father. Have we so quickly forgotten? Have we so quickly forgotten? The predator is out there, sitting in your backyard, listening, watching, feeding on your thoughts, your behavior. Are we giving him that opportunity to attack? Verse 8. Says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. When I lay down at night, you want to lay down in a peaceful sleep. You want to lay down and be safe. Where is there safety found in the world today? With you and me. Because of the blessings that God has given us and the protection that he has given to you and to me. Every year, we look up and we see storms coming through. We see events that are happening. And God's people are constantly being saved and protected. We're being protected. There's safety in our obedience to God. There is safety in our walk with God every moment of the day. Every moment of the day. Walk and talk with God. People are not going to think you're nuts. People do that all day, every day anyway. You know, they walk around with these earbuds in their ears, you know, talking to people. Nobody will think anything about it. They're having a conversation. Nobody will think you're nuts. You're walking, talking to God. Who are you talking to? My Father. Oh, tell him I said hi. Yeah, okay. Walk and talk with your Father. Allow him to be a part of every part of your day. Proverbs 14 and verse 12, don't turn there. There's a way that seems right to a man. In the end, he says, is of death. There is a way that seems right. Family, in what we do and what we think and how we respond and how we react every day, are we bringing God to the table and making God a part of the process? You see, the predator is there. He's going to throw these little darts at you. He wants you to react. He wants you to jump off the path. Because once you get off the path, now he's going to do everything he can to keep luring you away from the path. And now you're lost trying to figure out, how did they get over here? Well, he has you right where he wants you. There is a way that seems right. If you're questioning anything that's going on in your mind about something that you need to do or something you shouldn't do, or being with God's people even, if you've got a question that, let's get God in the midst of this conversation. We want to do his will. We want our ways to please him. He has placed us on a path, family, that is leading us towards his kingdom. James 4 verse 7, if you want to know how to deal with that predator, very simple. James 4 verse 7 says, submit to God. Submit to God. Submit to God. In getting wisdom, get understanding. You have the insight. God has given us the insight to his word. He has given us the expectations that he has for you and for me. What expectations do you have of God? You want him to be there when you call, yes? You want him to heal when you ask him for healing. You want him to bless when you're asking for blessings. You want a favor when you're asking him to favor you. You have expectations, do you not? Well, can't God have the same expectations of us to be obedient, to do his will? We belong to him. We belong to him. We said, yes, I will accept Jesus Christ as my personal savior. Guess what? New boss. New boss. So, should we not bring the boss to the table in our decision making on a daily basis? Sometimes our anxieties get up. But we're told in Philippians 4 and verse 6, don't turn there, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But family, we have expectations of God, but are we doing our part in obedience to him and in following him? That predator is out there. Three gazelles. Two remained. One decided to wander off. And you know what happened to him. He wandered off. And that predator got him. That chicken that wandered off, that was scolded about staying in the coop, wandered off. The only thing that remained of that chicken were the feathers. Why? You see, the reasonings in our head, our decisions to do what we want to do, instead of following the instructions and heeding the warnings. Going through bear country, stay in your vehicle. Keep your windows rolled up. These animals are in the wild. Some will follow those instructions and heed those instructions. Family, why can we not heed the instructions that God has given to us about that predator that lurks to destroy us? His appetite, his diet daily is to destroy God's people. That's his purpose. Don't give him the keys to your head. Don't let him in. Bring every thought into submission. Bring every action into submission to God's will and to God's way. Three gazelle. Two remain. One was destroyed. He was devoured. We are being warned that our adversary is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see those wild animals that live in our backyard? They're not really a threat to us. We are a threat to them. And when we intrude in their space, yes, they're going to attack. They're going to attack. They're going to defend their homeland. And if you're interfering with their meal, they're going to attack. And if you give them a bad cheeseburger, they're coming back. They're going to attack. That's a joke, guys. They're going to attack. But this predator is out to destroy God's people. I'm going to close with verse 7, Philippians 4. So now, family, we are seeking the wisdom. If we lack wisdom, ask God for it. Father, I need more wisdom. I need to be able to make the right decisions. I need to be able to see the dangers and the troubles that lie in front of me. I need you to open my eyes. I need to draw myself closer to you so that I stay on path. Because that predator is out there. He's waiting. He's lurking. He's listening. He's watching. Family, it's one moment at a time. It's one moment at a time that we need to give to God every day. Give him a moment. Have a conversation. Get him involved. You know, sometimes just take a second. You know, Father, I need your help. I need you to guide my thinking in this situation right here. I need you. And then yield. Yield. It's not always easy for us to be humble. But sometimes we have to be humble. Yield to God. And family, if we do this, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Let's not be that gazelle that wandered off.